You may be seated. The Bible explains us. The Bible reveals us. In fact, if you were going to be honest about it, you'd really say, is the Bible exposes us? You know? It strips us of this covering that sometimes we like to wrap around ourselves and see ourselves different than we really are. And it brings us back to this reality saying, this is who I am. And when we read the Bible, we see what we need to see, both about us and about Him and what He's done for us. But you know, you don't have to read very far in that Bible to realize that we've got a problem called sin. You know, sin shows up pretty good. You know, other religions have really no great explanation for this whole issue of why this world is such a cursed place and yet so blessed at the same time. And yet there in Genesis 3, it shows us where we see that, you know, Satan comes along and he offers a different belief system to man. Hey, you can do this on your own. You just eat this tree and you'll be like God. And it's interesting, it says she saw, and then it says she took, and then it says she gave. And friends, sin has continued to be infecting us just like that, where we see something, we believe what we believe as opposed to what He's declared. Because all the way back in the garden, He said something about sin that was pretty clear. He says, if you eat this, dying you shall be. This is death. And yet ever since then, we've been trying to find a way to drink poison and not have it kill us. You know, we're trying to find a way to say, I can do this. You know, I can remember it even going back to when I was a kid and I'd hear all these messages about staying out of sin. And I did not have the right attitude. I mean, I wanted to stay out of sin. But if sin was this speaker, my goal was to define sin in such a way, do you know what I'm talking about? Where you're just as close as you can get to it and still not be sunk in it. And that's not a biblical understanding of sin. When you understand it for what it is, you want nothing to do with it. You don't want to be a part of that. Because sin enslaves us. Jesus put it very simply, friends. He says, the one who commits sin is a slave of sin. Is that clear? Now see, I'm going to tell you some stuff today that may not make some of you happy, but that's not my goal. Sorry. Happy is not the goal. The goal is truth, right? And so when I say something, I want you to take it back and go, I'm going to go look in my Bible. Is that really what the Bible says? I want to study this out. That's why I give you those extra references in your notes so that you'll become a person of the Word. For the next 4 weeks, we want to be looking at this idea of setting the prisoner free. But if we talk about setting a prisoner free, we have to be willing to recognize that we're prisoners. That there's areas where you are not experiencing the freedom and the life that Christ intends for you to have. And so when you make certain choices, it sets you up for certain problems. And that's called sin. And so I've asked someone to help me here this morning. Zach, you want to come up here? The issue is so often when we step up here. When we make a decision, we think, you know, sin is a bracelet. Isn't that cute? That's pretty nice, isn't that right? And then we say, you know, that looks so nice on that hand. Maybe I'll take something on the other. And at that point, you're adorned. You've got something, you chose something, but then that which is on you begins to confine you. And it doesn't mean you can't still get around, but you can't get around the way you used to. Because the Bible says that he who commits sin is what? A slave of sin. That means that there is something that's going to stop you from doing what you want to do. And Zach's going to help me out a couple times today. I'm going to have him come sit down here in his slavery. And we'll continue talking about this. But I want you to turn with me, if you would. I didn't give him all the details of this participation. You know, you just... Because, see, that's exactly how it works, isn't that right? Satan says, hey, if you eat this, your eyes will be opened. And she ate, and her eyes were opened. And she found out some things she didn't want to know. See, we think there's some truth blended with the air, and it leads to slavery. But the Bible wants us to be forgiven. He wants us to experience all that God has for us. And so we talk about breaking the chains of deception today. And so we're just going to start with, what does it mean to be receiving forgiveness? How do you become a person who can be set free? And as I talk to you today, I know many of you are going to say, well, I am. And it was interesting when Jesus was preaching, and they said, are you saying we're slaves of sin? We're not slaves. And he says, as long as you say we're not, you still are. As long as you say, I don't have a problem here, you're still stuck. So look with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to go over some verses that I think are very familiar. But I want to look at what is it that is keeping you from receiving forgiveness of sins? What is it that is keeping you from the full plan of God? Because I believe you are in, probably, if you're like me, you're in part of it. You're experiencing maybe even most of it. But if you want to have fullness, there's more to it. So 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, it says, and this is the message we have from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. True? No darkness at all. Our God is light. Our God is perfect. Our God is holy. And if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, if we say we have fellowship with him and make any choice related to darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. At that point of choice, you're lying. See, sin is always choosing to believe a lie because that's who the devil is, isn't that right? He was a liar from the beginning, Jesus says. And you wouldn't choose sin unless you believed the lie. So you have to have some lie you're believing to get yourself stuck into sin. Because if you knew what it was, you'd say, oh, this will kill me. I'll take that. No, you're believing something is going to bless you that actually is going to enslave you. And so he says, if you'd say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, because remember, he is the light, right? So we walk in the light like he's in the light. We have fellowship with one another. We've got a relationship that he wants you to have. There's a connection, a communion, a sharing of life. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some. Now, I know most of us have some sin that we haven't experienced the victory over that we'd like to experience. But the Bible says Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. Not just some. Not just those ones you wanted to get rid of. With some of those you don't want to get rid of. You know what I'm talking about? There's some stuff people don't want to let go of. You know, people go on diets and there's some food they're okay with letting go of. And there's some food they're not okay with letting go of. And a lot of people, they approach Christianity like a diet. I'm going to do a little less sin and think that if I do a little less sin and a little more good, that's godly. That's not what this book says. That's not the plan. So what is he going to say? If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are what? Deceiving ourselves. You know, there's an awful lot that we like to blame on the devil, and he is a deceiver. But he says, we choose to embrace the deception, and we're responsible for how we respond to the circumstances of our life. And he says, we can deceive ourselves. When we begin saying, no, that, I don't have any sin, you're deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. All. But why do we act like it's most? Why do we act like it's some? Because we're deceived. See, there's something there that's, you got something that's hanging on to you. I just want to tell you, it's hanging on because there's a deception there. It's hanging on because something hasn't been discerned about the truth, because when you discern the truth, it sets you what?
Free.
All right? So if you choose sin, he says the one who chooses sin is a slave of sin. But if you know the truth, it sets you
free.
All right? So, what's the challenge? If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Now, you know, I have called a few people a liar in my day, and I have never found that it makes for better conversation. I don't know about you. You know, sometimes you're just trying to reveal the truth to somebody. And you know, generally speaking, in the good old American culture, when you tell somebody you are a liar, just doesn't seem to float very well. I don't know what you found, but that's what I've found. But the idea of me looking into the face of God and saying, you are a liar. Yikes. Is that scary? But he says, if we say we haven't sinned, we make him a liar. When we live in denial about our sin, he says, we're saying to God, you're lying. That's not sin. See, we got a problem. Here's my little children. I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. See, that's an amazing thought. You may not. That you have the ability not to sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Praise God. We've got an advocate. We've got a lawyer. We've got someone who can deal with the problem, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Because I am James, the one who's chosen unrighteousness. Christ makes me righteous, and then I go out and choose unrighteousness again. But he says, and he himself, that the one who is the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. He says he is the satisfaction of the righteous wrath of God against sin. He takes care of the punishment that sin deserves. So what is it that restrains us, that keeps us from receiving forgiveness? Well, the first one he points out here is the one that says, I don't need forgiveness. You say, I don't need forgiveness. You know, and I know many of you, as you hear me speaking, you're saying, well, I would never say that. Because I know I need forgiveness. All right? But we've got this statement in our culture. It's a beauty. How are you doing today? I'm fine. You are a liar. And your culture encourages you to lie. They don't want you to tell the truth. Nobody wants to hear the history. We don't want to know that, but that's what we say. How are you? I'm fine. And that's a lot of Christians. How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And we walk out this Deception that doesn't say, you know what? I'm struggling. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. I am upset. And as long as you live in denial, you can soak in that river a long time, but you're not going to experience forgiveness. Because when you say, I don't need it, you don't get it. See? Come on, Zach. See, the issue is, Zach can do a whole bunch of stuff even though he's handcuffed. Isn't that right? There's a lot of things he can do. And he could probably even stand up here, and if he stands in just the right way, you can't even tell he's handcuffed. And a lot of you have learned how to pose so somebody can't see what's restraining you. And you just got to live different that way. You kind of act a little different. Thanks. The idea that you say, I don't need it, I can get by without it, I don't really have a problem, is called what? That's called pride. And I've got it, and you've got it. We've got pride. And as soon as you think you've dealt with your pride, you've got more pride. See, this is an inceptuous problem, see, because as soon as you say, you know, I think I'm getting this pride thing down pretty good. There goes the balloon. I'm back to being proud about not being as proud. You know, I had a friend of mine. He was a pastor. He says, they gave me this button, the humblest pastor in the United States. And he says, I wore it to church the next Sunday. They took it away. We have a problem, and it's called denial. And the tools of repression are just the tools of pride to hide my lifestyle and my feelings from others around me. And I just type, well, I don't have a problem. I'm fine. I'm okay. But what did Jesus say? Matthew 5:48. Read it with me. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, if we just said be perfect, most of us are getting uncomfortable. But when he says be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, you know, I'm going to translate that. He says, I want you to be as good as God is good. And when you look at your life, can you say that even just this morning, I mean, it's a holy day, you're coming to church, even this morning, can you say, I was as good as God is good today? True? No. Okay. So then I need forgiveness. See? We've got a lot of lies that we tell ourselves, and then we begin staying there because we say we don't got a problem. See? I love them, I just don't like them. Never heard that one in church before, have you? Oh, no, I was church social, not in church. We wouldn't say that in here. You know, I'm not really offended with them. I just don't get along with them. I'm just a little disappointed. Yeah. I didn't say that. Oh, I mean, and that's not what I meant. Liar. Say you don't have sin, you're a liar. The question is, why do we try to minimize our sin when I've got such an amazing Savior that can deal with it? Right. I don't want to be that needy. I don't want somebody to expose me to that. But friends, I've heard this so many times, even when I'm talking to non-Christians. I'm not that bad. Okay? Compared to who? See, and usually, most of us, we've got a standard of good, and it's compared to somebody. Right? And it's usually somebody that's not doing as good as you. You don't say, I'm not that bad as in, like, compared to Mother Teresa. Or like Billy Graham. I mean, you know, those people, they're seriously messed up. No, we say, I mean, you know, like, what's the standard? Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I'm not that. And so I need forgiveness because I sinned against a holy God. Isn't that right? I need that, friends. I've made choices that are contrary to His choices, and I continue to make those choices, sometimes even on the way to church, sometimes even in the church. So I need forgiveness. And if you quit trying to minimize your need, you can start maximizing your Savior's grace. You start experiencing something that's far greater. You say you don't need it, you don't need Him. My friends, denying the extent of your sinfulness does not make you clean. Some of you mothers can remember this story. It happened a few times in my house. You come to the table, did you wash your hands? Oh. Yeah. You know, let me see them. What's the issue? Is the issue whether or not you washed? No, what's the issue? Are you clean? See, it's not, have I confessed today? It's, am I clean? Am I dealing with all the issues? I dealt with some. You know, you're walking across that carpet. Mom says, hey, you're tracking stuff. I wiped my feet. Do we do that with God? See, it's not the issue of did I do something about some of my sin. It's am I willing to be clean? Am I willing to let Him say, that's not fully clean. I want to deal with what? God looks at the heart. But we look at the external performances. And as long as you're measuring your sinfulness by your appearances, we can deceive ourselves pretty well. But if you begin looking at what's going on in the heart, I would say most of us would not like a videotape of our heart projected on the big screen this morning. All the thoughts. We say, no, I don't think that's quite rated the way I want it to be rated today. Friends, God's got a provision for you. But as long as you put on a mask that says, I'm clean, I'm okay, I'm fine, you're going to miss the provision. And so he goes on to say, besides saying, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then he says, if we confess our sins. If, that's a little word. It's awful big sometimes, isn't it? How many times have you said, you know, if I would have, you know, if I would have. The woulda, coulda, shouldas that we have, you know, and they're all based on, there was an opportunity to do something, but I didn't choose to do it. You see, confessing sin is the opportunity to experience the joy of communion with God in closer relationship. And so he says, confess. But he says, that's an if. It's not a guarantee. So why is another reason we don't experience forgiveness? Sometimes it's not because you say, I'm not in sin. Because some of you realize, that's a stupid lie. You know, and you know, if you see a lie is stupid, then you have to trade, right? For a different lie. You know, my sin's not that bad. See, now it's not that I don't need forgiveness, it's I don't value forgiveness. I don't see it as that important for me to deal with it. I mean, I've dealt with the big things in my life. You know, you're just getting pushy, preacher. I really don't have to deal with all that stuff. I mean, aren't you being extreme to say, be perfect, be holy? God is extreme. He's extremely holy. He's extremely righteous. He's extremely pure, and He's totally perfect. And if you want to hang out with Him, He says, let's deal with your stuff. So what's the deal? If I don't value forgiveness, you know, how do I identify that? Well, I really think the only identification for that is foolish. It's foolishness. And we have all played that, have we not? You know, you're just like, oh, I think that doesn't really matter that much right now, you know. And it can be all sorts of things. But if you're covering rather than confessing, you're multiplying. You're burying seed right there, friends, and it's going to grow up, and it's going to grow up, and it's going to keep spreading. If you don't confess, if you don't uproot it, it's going to continue to spread. You got to deal with the root issues in your life. You got to value dealing with the root issues in life. Friends, there's another verse in the scriptures that makes this pretty clear. Subtle, Paul was in Galatians chapter 6. It says, do not be deceived. Read that with me. There's that phrase right there. Do not be deceived. Okay, whoa. Now, why does the Bible have do nots in it? Because there's a tendency to do it. He's not telling you do not do what you do not do. He's telling you do not do what you have a tendency to do. So he says, we have a tendency to be deceived in this area. Here's another area of deception that keeps you from forgiveness. He says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Is that the truth? Really? Some of you aren't buying it. That's the truth. I got some gardeners out there that are shaking their head. That's right. They already know. Whatever I put in the ground, that's what's coming up if it comes up. I mean, not everything comes up, and some of you can be thankful for that. All right? Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. What you sow is what you're going to reap. And so what I think is it's not that bad. All right. I was out back. You know, it's nice, the sun starts to shine, and then you go out in your backyard and you get depressed. I mean, my backyard's 2.5 acres. All right. And I look at the blackberries. Now, how long do you need to leave a blackberry by itself before it becomes a problem? Boy, I tell you, Southern Oregon teaches you something about dealing with the roots. Isn't that right? Because that plant grows, and then that nice, beautiful little arcing branch comes down, and then it touches the ground. Well, lots of plants touch the ground, but blackberries root and start it over again, and they do this little hopping thing across your property. And that's what sin does. It's not that big a deal. It's got some good fruit. There's some things that are nice about this. I kind of like to hang on to it. It's going to spread, friends. It's going to spread, you know. Thistles. How many thistles do you have to cultivate in a backyard 1 year before you spend the rest of your life digging up thistles every spring? Question. How much sin do you want to leave? See, if I don't value forgiveness, I'm saying, well you know, I dealt with most of this stuff. I dealt with the serious stuff. I dealt with the destructive stuff. Is there any sin that's not destructive? Ask your children. Ask your spouse. Ask your neighbor. Because the sin in you always spreads, always impacts other people. You see, God won't wash you unless you want to be clean. Remember Peter jumping up saying, hey, you're not washing me. What did Jesus say? If I don't wash you, you have no part with me. We're not going to have fellowship unless you let me wash. And what did he say? Well, hey, then wash everything. And Jesus said, yeah, you know, if you've washed, you just need to deal with what's dirty. See, so we're not trying to depress you and say, you know, every single aspect of your life is disgusting. But friends, if your feet are dirty, they need to be washed. We can't let stuff just go. We can't just leave it. What am I saying? Forgiveness is worth pursuing because it frees me from the destructive effects of sin. You see, Zach is still here, confined, all right? There's things that he can do. There's things that he can't do. He's restricted. And friends, when we hang on to sin, it's going to restrict you. You can pretend like he can do all sorts of things. Come here. Can you pick up that hymnal there? Sure. See, you can still function with your sin, friends. It's just there's things you're not going to be able to do. Go ahead, open it up. Oh, it's just a little harder. See, you can still get by wherever you are. You just can't get by the way you could if you were free. Does that make sense? Thank you. So think about this. You go to the doctor. He says, I don't like that spot. We need to deal with that. You say, okay, just take half. No. You get it all, doc. I want it all. Friends, sin is a cancer. We need to go after it. And we have no ability to absorb sin. The human body wasn't designed for this. We were designed for righteousness. We were designed for holiness. And we have no capacity to deal with it. When you sin, something happens to you. It's not your choice. It just automatically happens. It's called what? Guilt. You sin, guilt comes in. And guilt does the body bad. All right, because it's supposed to, because it's a warning, it's a reminder, it's an encouragement to say, deal with this stuff. And when you sin against somebody else, guess what? There's something that happens to them. They don't want it to happen to them, it happens to them anyway. You sin against somebody else, they get hurt. It's an unchosen result of sin. And so guilt and hurt spread all over the place when we leave it in our life, just like blackberries. But confession is a possibility. It's a choice. It's an option. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous. He is faithful and righteous. He is faithful and righteous. Somebody hear me yet? He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have a faithful and a righteous God who will cleanse me from all unrighteousness if I will bring all my unrighteousness to Him. And whatever I bring, He cleanses. Whatever I bring, He deals with. And so as long as I'm willing to let Him deal with me, I can move ahead. Friends, what are we talking about? Believe in something different than sin. It's a belief system, friends. It's not a willpower thing. Some people think that Christianity is something you do by trying harder. I am not inviting you to become a Hertz Christian. Hertz is in the H-E-R-T-Z, you know. We try harder. Oh, how many evangelicals I have met, they're the Pharisees. We try harder. Okay, I don't want to do that sin, so I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try harder. Where in this Bible does He say try harder? What does He say? He says trust Me. I didn't say try. He says trust. Now, after I trust, then there's obedience, but I'm not trying now. I'm just trusting. I'm just stepping forward into the action that He calls us to take. Friends, when I believe what God says is true about Him and true about me, I'm transformed. I just gotta start believing it. And in every individual area of life, I can step into the reality of who I am when I believe what He says. And He is faithful and righteous, and He'll forgive me all my sin. So when I believe that, when I step forward in that, when I confess that, then I can walk clean. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word is not in us. My children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. Not ours only, but also those of the whole world. Here's one more deception. I don't believe forgiveness is available. Oh, it's available for those people. It's available for those situations. But you don't understand what I did. I knew better. I intentionally chose this. And I've chose this for so long, so many times. He won't forgive me anymore. I just keep falling down. God won't God won't. When someone starts saying about what God won't, just remember who said that in the beginning. Satan wants to get you to believe something different than what God wants you to believe. Friends, this is about a belief system. And I want you to believe that you cannot sin too great. You cannot sin too long. You cannot sin too many times that God couldn't and wouldn't forgive you. Because He paid enough for eternity, for all time, for all the world. All the world. It is all paid for all time. Now, the more you sin, the more problems you're bringing into your life. I always think it's funny. You open up those seed catalogs and they say, blackberry plants available for sale. Yeah, right. Right next to the thistles? Come on. Who wants that stuff? But, friends, what are you looking at in that spot? And you say, it can't happen. You're looking at yourself, not your Savior. Because when I look at Jesus, that's enough. He did enough. I can believe that. Friends, the cure for sin is Christ. It's not crying. Now, I don't mean you shouldn't cry about your sin. I'm just telling you, I don't care how hard you cry, it won't make you holy. Christ makes you holy. It's not your efforts, it's His work that you trust. And I think sin should grieve us, but I want you to understand, it's not, well, I need to be more grieved about this. No, you need to believe what He did. And return to that. And trust that. Sin has been punished. We do have an advocate. Unbelief will keep you from experiencing God. Nothing else. Doubt. It'll keep you. But Acts 10:43 tells us this. Read this with me. Of Him all the prophets bear witness that through His name everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. Key word in the middle is what? Everyone. That's you. That's me. Friends, I consider Christ's cross sufficient payment. I trust that. That's enough. I confess my sin daily because I daily sin. Because my heart does not fully embrace. And I have people tell me, oh no, I have people tell me this. I'm always kind of surprised by this. But, you know, I'm not sinning that much anymore. What? Now, friends, understand, I'm walking in great victory in many areas of my life, and I don't sin the way I used to sin in those areas the way I used to sin. But the Word of God says whatever is not of faith is sin. The one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, it's sin. And it says I'm supposed to love God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. You put that word all in there, it's pretty hard to say I am always, always, always rejoicing, always thankful, always loving. Oh, I'm not there. But I've got a God who is. And as I believe Him, as I focus on Him, as I worship Him, as I thank Him, He transforms me. And I don't sin less by trying to sin less. I sin less by trusting the sinless one. I trust Him and then I sin less. I obey Him and I sin less. When I'm trying to clean up my own act, it's like changing oil in your car and then trying to wash your hands without water or a cloth. Go ahead, just clean up before you go in the house. You have no ability to clean yourself up. That's why God gave you a Savior. I got a Savior because I'm a sinner who needed a Savior. And I'm thankful that He has saved me, that He's made me righteous in Christ. I am a new creation. Friends, God's not trying to change you. He already has. What He wants you to do is believe you are the new creation you are. Believe He is the Creator He is and let Him live that out in your life. Friends, I have zero capacity to resolve sin. But he has it all. And when I confess it, he deals with it. I confess my need of forgiveness, believing that Christ's sacrifice was enough. It's enough. Because what does it say? If we confess, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And so it says there in John 8:32, what does it say? You know the truth will set you free. And then it goes on to clarify what that means. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Friends, Jesus Christ is the truth for you to trust. Friends, sin's deceptive power is not broken by trying. Come back up here, Zach. Let's try to get you out of that. Can you try? Can try. Go ahead. You think you could do that if you had a paper clip? I'm here to tell you a paper clip is not going to jerk on these. But you know what? There's a key. Do you know what it's called? It's called trust. And when you exercise trust, that which binds you is broken. And nothing other than trust will set you free. And the key has to come outside yourself. There's a response to what binds you. You see how he had to push out? There's a response, but friends, it's trust. God is calling us to trust Jesus Christ as the one who can set you free from any and all sin at any point of any day by trust. Friends, trusting the truth is the key to setting yourself free. Trust the truth. It's trust. It's faith applied to the circumstance. It's not just having the key in your pocket. I had to bring it out and apply it to the situation. God's got a situation to apply truth to in every situation in your life. If you'll trust him, what does he say about this? What does he say about this? What does he say about this? You can begin having freedom in so many areas you haven't had it in. And it'll set the prisoner free. And so this is the first step. What does it mean to receive forgiveness? Lord willing, next week I want to talk to you about the idea of giving forgiveness. But let me just review something here this morning. I need forgiveness. Why? Because I've sinned. Because I stand accountable to a righteous judge for my sin. And because the wages of sin is death. Is that as clear as it can be? It's as clear as it can be. But I can have forgiveness. Because I have a Savior, friends. Jesus died for sinners like me. And Jesus confirmed he is the Lord by rising from the dead. And God, satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice with me and believing on Jesus Christ, provides forgiveness. How much do you want? It's all available. He can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you want it all gone, he can deal with it. You just got to spend your heart with him. Invest your heart back to him. Begin choosing to trust. In situation after situation, let God work. And you know what I found? The key on that turning of the trust? Thank him. Thank him. You got that situation? Begin to thank him. Say, here's what the truth is. I'm going to believe that. And I'm going to thank him in that circumstance. And God begins to set you free. Let's pray. Right here, before we pray, and your head's bowed, you got issues, I've got issues, God wants to deal with your stuff. I want to invite you just to say, Lord Jesus, I need you as a Savior. If you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, if you've never said, I needed someone to save me, I couldn't save myself, if you've never ever done that, then right now this morning, you can choose to make that choice. Say, Lord, save me. And if you just want to raise your hand to him and say, Lord, save me. I have never been saved. I want to trust him. Just raise your hand right now. Say, Lord, save me. But as you deal with this issue right now, we're going to pray. And I'm going to invite you to come as this song closes. There'll be someone here to pray with you about issues in your life. You turn it over to God and let him work. Father, I thank you that you are working in our lives to cleanse us from every sin. I thank you that you've paid for all sin. But as we walk into it, Lord, we need to have our feet washed again. And I thank you that it's covered for all time. We want to experience the cleansing for this moment so we can walk free with you. So thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.